please join with me in the call to worship. Friends, stop and listen.
There is music in the air.
Clap your hands and shout for joy.
There is music in the air.
Here, as two or more gather,
Christ comes to greet us.
Whether we come with hearts of joy or hearts weighed down,
Christ comes to greet us.
So whatever you are doing, stop and listen, for I hear music in the air.
There must be a God somewhere.
Friends, Christ is here to greet us, and here is how it works. Christ greets us every time we extend our hand to one another in peace. Christ greets us every time we open our hearts with love. Christ greets us when we dig deep and open our lives to one another. So this morning, when you pass that peace, mean it. Look into each other's eyes and greet one another through Christ. Friends, the peace of Christ be with you.
Thank you.
Now, friends, let that peace be in your heart and move around this room and share it with one another. When you have finished sharing the peace, please rise and let's sing hymn 403, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. You may be seated. Good morning. And welcome to the First Congregational Church of the United Church of Christ here in Stockbridge. We are an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ, which means at its most basic, no matter who you are, no matter who you love, no matter what you look like, no matter what kind of body you have, what kind of family you come from or claim, or what kind of heritage is your home, you are welcome here. You're welcome here not because it's politically correct, not because our bishop told us to, or because we are in a particularly good mood today, although seeing this church, I am. No, you are welcome here because here we pay attention to the Bible and the way it calls us to fling open our doors and our hearts. You're welcome here because we hear the Spirit whispering in our ear. You're welcome here because you, each and every one of you are God's beloved, not for anything you have done or will ever do, but because you are the child of God made in God's very image, and that is all we need to know. I want to welcome our guests and visitors here today. If you are new among us, you will find these pew cards in your pew. Please feel free to fill one out and put it in the offering basket when the offering plate comes by so that I know a way to get a hold of you. I want to give a special welcome to the amazing Simon's Rock Chorus for being with us today and leading our worship today. A special thank you to Jack, who is responsible for bringing them here, and to Jack and Cindy, who gave them bagels and breakfast this morning so they'd have the strength to sing for you. Welcome. We are glad you're here. If you want to know more about them, there is information towards the back of your bulletin. Check it out. I have a couple announcements to make, but while I make mine, I would invite anyone who has an announcement to make to please come forward to this microphone. Today, we honor our longtime members, people who have been members of this church for more than 25, more than 35, or more than 50 years. You will notice something about the hymns today. Tracy didn't pick them out. I didn't pick them out. Instead, they've been picked out by some of our members who have been members for 50 years or more. You will notice who picked them out in the bulletin, and you will notice your short sentence as far as why they picked it out. I hope you enjoy them. We will be having a Thanksgiving Day worship here at the First Congregational Church at 10:30 in the morning on Thanksgiving Day. We will be joining with every single house of worship here in Stockbridge, the Marian Fathers, St. Joseph's, and St. Paul's. It will be a service of singing and prayer. You won't want to miss it. Speaking of Thanksgiving, we will also gather here tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock in Thanksgiving for the life of Jane Pratt Fitzpatrick. The service will start promptly at 11 o'clock, and thank you to all who have volunteered to help. If you are one of those who have volunteered to help for that service, please come find me after worship so I can give you your instructions for the day. Jackie.
Good morning. This is a note from the Service League. In your bulletin, you will see a red flyer. And it is to do with wreaths that we sell at the Holly Fair. And what would be good is if you would like to have one and you would like to order it early, you will be sure of getting it. We make about 25 wreaths for the day, and they're gone probably by about 10:30 in the morning. So if you are, looking to have one, and you would like to order it, the paper is here, and there is in the Jonathan Edwards room a box that you can fold it and put it in, or you can call Alice Wilmot, and that will be for the wreaths for the Holly Fair. Thank you.
Thank you, Jackie. If there are no other announcements, let us continue in worship. And at this time, I invite all the children who are here present to come and join me up front.
I'm glad you guys are here today because I actually
Please be seated. Our reading today comes from the mouth of God. It is recorded by the prophet Isaiah in the 65th chapter, starting with the 17th verse. For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. For I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it, or the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant that lives but a few days, or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. For one who has died at 100 years will be considered a youth, and one who falls short of 100 will be considered accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be offspring blessed by the Lord, and their descendants as well. Before they call, I will answer. While they are not yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the oxen. But the serpent, its food shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountains, says the Lord. May God bless these words with truth and understanding.
Sisters and brothers, will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every one of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. My grandfather was a great storyteller, and one of his favorite stories that he always used to tell was about my mom. It was a time when my grandfather made a promise to my mother. He said, Lois, after church on Sunday, I'm going to take you to see your favorite aunt. And so you be ready to go, and together you and I will go. And my mom loved this aunt with all of her heart, and so she was dressed and ready to go at the door. Now, that aunt lived about 3 hours from where they were, and so they got in the car together, my grandfather in the front, my mom in the back, and they started driving. Well, about 20 minutes into the drive, you can imagine the question that came from my mom. Are we there yet? And my grandfather said, no, we're not quite there yet. It's a long trip. I urge you to sit back, look out the window, enjoy the ride. It will be fun. That lasted for about 15 minutes until my mom leaned forward and said, are we there yet? Well, this pattern went on about every 10 minutes until my grandfather thought he came up with the right idea. He said, no, honey, Lois, we are not going to be there until it's dark outside. Well, it seemed to work. My mom sat back in her seat. She sat there for about 12 minutes. And then she leaned forward and she said, Dad, is it dark yet? Truth is, we often get so excited about the promise of our destination that we ignore or get impatient with the journey to it. We want that pot of gold at the rainbow, at the end of the rainbow, so bad that sometimes we end up missing the glory of the rainbow itself. Here in this wonderful and moving passage of Isaiah, God makes a great promise involving what will be all of our ultimate destinations. God in this passage is promising a new creation. But this new creation God is talking about is actually the one on God's heart when God first created Eden and said, look it, everything is good. God promises here in Isaiah that creation, even now, with all of our turmoil, is still arcing. It is still on a journey towards goodness and fullness. God reminds us that there will be a time where no more will there be weeping. There will no longer be a need to cry in despair, for everything is going to be good. People are going to live out full and beautiful lives, God says. There will be homes and food. The wolf shall lie down. The wolf and lamb shall lie down together. The lion's going to eat straw. There's going to be no longer hurt or destruction. Sometimes when you read one of these passages in the Bible and hear this great promise, don't you want to lean forward, tap our Heavenly Father on the shoulder and say, "Are we there yet? Could we please already just get there?" You know what? I think God would turn over shoulder and look us in the eyes. God would smile back at us and say, "Well, yes, in some ways we are there, and no, we are not fully there yet." But God would say, "Enjoy the journey because it's critical, and know in your hearts and know in your minds that I have promised this, so it will be." Today, we honor our long-time members. Not so much that they have arrived at an impressive number of years. Not because membership for 25, 35, or 50 years is some kind of final destination. It is not. But rather, we honor our long-term members because they have faithfully journeyed together with God and with this church for a long, long time. And we know that the journey matters, not in some sort of cliche or Hallmark card kind of way. But as Christians, we know that the journey fundamentally matters because it is the only way we can or ever will get to that destination that God promises us. Each and every week at this church, a group of clergy from across Berkshire County gather here at this church. We gather on Tuesday mornings to talk about Scripture to make sure that at least by Tuesday we've thought about these things. This week, Max Stackhouse brought a very special guest, John DeGrucci. Now, John served as the sabbatical pastor of this church as his first position back in the 60s. He went on to be the foremost scholar of the theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and he remains one of the most powerful voices in his native South Africa. In our conversation, John talked at some length about texts like this one from Isaiah, where there is this great promise of what will be, and yet there is the contrast of the reality of what is. We read this statement, and yet we open the newspaper and see what is happening in the Philippines, in Syria. And there is this tension between the promise and what is. As Christians, we believe the reality that Christ has come, the kingdom of God has indeed drawn near to us, that we can see and touch and actually be part of that kingdom. But clearly, from this promise of Isaiah, we're not there yet. So John brought up something that he says Bonhoeffer is absolutely passionate about. He says that when we see a promise like this, we can't sit in the back seat and whine about when we're getting there. Instead, we have to step forward and meet this promise head on. We went on to talk in this meeting about how this promise, when we meet it in our own ways, we open ourselves up to the fullness of God's promise that is to come. What do I mean by that? I mean this. When we reach out to those who are grieving and mourning, we break open our hearts. We learn what it means to grieve and mourn and to sit with people even if we can't help them. We, in a small way, do help to soothe another's pain, and then we begin to imagine, if we can help out this person in this pain in a little bit, how much more amazing is it when God is going to help all of this pain go away? When we do that, we also break open our souls and help to prepare ourselves to receive the kind of grace and fullness that God is offering. Another way to put it, when we as a church go on the walk, the construct walk, to build houses for others, when we
bring forth food after every communion to help make food more abundant. When we practice peacemaking, each time we do that, we get a tiny glimpse of this fullness of promise that we have here in Isaiah. Every time we prepare ourselves to receive God's grace upon grace. Friends, today we do not celebrate the longevity of our members as a destination, but rather as an ongoing and unfolding journey. We celebrate the duration of their covenant with God and with this church to worship, to grow, to follow God, and to be part of the healing of this world in anticipation and preparation for the unfolding of this great promise God proclaims in Isaiah. The truth is, none of us in this room are likely to live here on this planet to see that promise come to fullness. But then again, that's not the point. We remember that Moses, with all of his leading and journeying in the wilderness, never entered the promised land. We remember that Martin Luther King Jr., with all of his work and all of his passion and all of his faith, he never lived to see the passing of the Civil Rights Act. But we do know, because both of them told us, that on their journeys through the wilderness, they got a glimpse of who God was and the greatness of God's promise, and they knew in their hearts that someday, it would happen. And we also know that through their breaking themselves open, they prepared the conditions necessary for others to realize this dream only, if only, in a human way. Today, we celebrate the journeys of 40 people of this church who have been members for more than 25 years. I have no doubt, as I look into each of your eyes, that your journey here has shaped and has molded you, and I give thanks to God for that. But just as importantly, your journeys here have shaped and molded this church. They have shaped and molded all of us who have come as latecomers to this party and joined this church and got to experience the joy that you share. Without each of you and the gifts and commitments and promises you have given over the year, this church would not be the same. It is upon your shoulders that we stand today. And so on behalf of the entire congregation, I say thank you for your journey, for your ongoing perseverance, for your love, and for your commitment. Friends, let them be a model to us on this day of the way that this journey unfolds God's promise among us even now and even if incompletely. This new promise that God promises, this new creation, calls for us to meet that promise head on with grace and beauty and perseverance, with eyes open and hearts alive. If you believe in this great promise of God, and if you are ready to step forward and meet it, would you say amen?
Amen?
Let us sing.
Thank you.
Friends, you may be seated. And so we come to the time in our worship where we join our hearts and minds together in prayer. Here in this church, we have a practice of lifting up the joys and the concerns that are on our hearts and minds, both so that we can pray them in this service, but also so that we might take them with us in the week to come. So I ask you this morning, what joys and what concerns are on your hearts and minds this morning? All right, Madonna. We give thanks to God for progress and health and well-being and for Mark. We keep the people of the Philippines in our prayers. We pray for all the victims of the violence at Los Angeles International Airport a few weeks ago. Yes? We give thanks, Ronnie, that you may be with your family on a day like Thanksgiving. Other prayers of joy or concern. Amen. We give thanks to our long-time members for what they have done, what they are still doing, and what they have yet to do for this place. Amen. Thank you, Simon's Rock, and the joy you bring to this place. We lift up Anne Sparks, who passed away yesterday. We ask God to welcome her into his arms, and we lift up the whole family as they grieve. If there are no other prayers to be brought forth, let us take a moment of silence, that these may seep into our hearts and our minds. God, you who put music in the air over our heads, you who make promises and inspire hope, you who are always by our side, we come to you now in a time of prayer. We lift up to you the joys of our hearts. For Mark, who is doing well, for Ronnie, who gets to spend time with family, for the young people who inspire us this morning, and for our longtime members who have been our backbone for decades. God, we give you thanks for all we have and all we are. And so we also come to you with the burdens of our hearts this morning, the things that weigh upon us, the violence and destruction of this world, the things that make us realize that your promise is not yet fully here. We lift up the thousands in the Philippines who are still struggling to find water and home and family and lost ones. We lift up those who die from violence in this country, especially those that we remember today in Los Angeles. And we lift up Anne Sparks and her family. God, we lift up this morning those who are in need and anyone who has lost their way. God, we ask you to help us in this time and place to be here in worship, to really be here, to open our hearts and lives that you might enter and transform them, to open our deepest held fears that you might shine light on them and help us to face them. God, for the ways that we have not loved you with our whole hearts, together we say that we are sorry. And for the ways we have not loved our neighbor as ourselves, we too say we're sorry. God, send your forgiving grace down into our hearts that we might live anew and walk afresh. God, we have hope because of the gift of Jesus. And we hold on to that hope by remembering his story, including the prayer he taught us to pray. And so now we lift our voices together in that prayer, praying out loud, "Our God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Amen indeed. Friends, to be a member of this congregation means to own the covenant. Today we celebrate people who have owned that covenant well. We don't just celebrate the length of their promise, we give thanks to God for their journey with us throughout that time. We know without a doubt that this place might not even be here today, and certainly would not be this vital and spiritually rich without those who have spent, in some cases, their entire lives building it. They have spent their lives deepening their faith. These people have taught our children. They have managed our resources. They have served on boards and committees. They have helped us to know God through worship, through study, and through song. They have loved one another and allowed themselves even harder to be loved in return. We know that Christ is the head and foundation of our church, and that is simple fact. But these people that we are about to recognize are the building blocks of this church. We as a congregation owe all of you our gratitude, our thanks, and our respect. Part of the commitment to this church is an ongoing deepening of faith. And so at this point, I would like to ask all those who have been members of this church for 35 years, but not yet 50, to please go ahead and stand. You have committed to enriching your lives and deepening your faith, among other things. And so today we want to give you a resource to help you do that. Joanne and Ron will be bringing you a beautiful Advent devotional for this year, that it might enrich your faith and find new ways to grow, and a candle in it that you might light it in the deepest and darkest hours. Please bring them their gifts along with their rose and along with the entire congregation's heartfelt gratitude. While they are finishing bringing those, friends, do you know that we have 8 people, I believe, with us today who have been members of this church for 50 or more years? If you are able and if you have been a member of 50 or more years, will you please come forward? They are Barbara Bracknell, Doris Brochu, Patty Fadding, Grace Johnson, Connie Montgomery, Anne Underwood, Charles Wales, and Claire Williams. Doris, if you can come on up, please come on up. All of you who are able, please come forward. And you can stay down there on that bottom step. I will come to you. Please, why don't we face the congregation so they can see your beautiful faces? And you may lean on the front pew if that is helpful. Patty, I'm going to sneak through you. This is no small achievement. To be part of a church and to honor the promises you have for 50 years is nothing short of staggering. A good friend of mine was once a pastor, and then he burned out. The politics of the church was too much. He found the church not to be a place of God, and so he left, but wanted to continue ministering. He is an excellent wood craftsman, and so he has devoted his life to helping churches through his gift of wood. Today, we are going to present each of our 50-year members with a cross that was handmade by him. It is called the cross of the Spirit. May this cross remind you of the Spirit which has enlivened and enriched your time with us. As you take this cross home, may it always remind you of the family that is here and the people who love you. And whenever you want, and especially on this day when we do it again, feel free to wear this cross back here as a sign and symbol to all of us of the commitment that you have made. I will put this around your neck, and then Joanne will give you a box to keep it in, and Josh will give you a rose. Barbara, here you are. Well, let's see if we can get over the glasses. Charles, does it fit? Can you help me get it over the ears? Grace, my dear. Let's get over the glasses. There we go. Each of the woods in these crosses have been picked out because they have significance and symbolism, and that's explained in this box that Joanne is giving you. And now, before we send you back to your seats, I invite the congregation to lift one or both hands in an ancient sign of Christian blessing. I want you to aim them at these eight people. I want you to imagine all the love that is possible in your hearts to come out of your fingertips and land squarely on them. Let us pray. O God, our constant companion, you who are furthest than the farthest star, yet closer than our next breath, we give you thanks on this day. We give you thanks for these people, for their hearts, for their courage, for their perseverance, and for the way they have been faithful members of this congregation. Even as we give you thanks, God, we ask you to send your Spirit down in them that they may continue to give those gifts to us through their lives, their wisdom, their grace, and through their very essence. God bless them, and through them bless this church, that we may evermore your faithful servants be. And let us all say, Amen. You may be seated. Friends, it has come time in our worship to honor and to praise God by giving back from what we have first been given. It is in that spirit that this morning's offering will be given and received.
Keep so busy praising my Jesus. Ain't got time.
Holy and loving God, bless these gifts and all who have given them, that these gifts and our lives might truly reflect your love, your grace, and the promise that is unfolding all around us. We pray this in the name of our brother and Savior Jesus, and let us all say, Amen. Friends, our time of worship is drawing to a close, that we might worship our God with our lives in new ways beyond this room. Before you go, a couple of announcements. All of you are welcome to come through these doors afterwards for a time of food and fellowship, a time to deepen relationships and to honor one another. I also give you an invitation. Okay, it's more like a plea, but if there are some able-bodied people who might stick around after fellowship hour, for tomorrow's service, we will be seating overflow seating throughout the Jonathan Edwards room. We need to clear as much furniture out of that room as we can, and I would so appreciate it if you might help. Friends, let us close our worship in song. Friends, as you go forth from this place, clothe yourselves with compassion, with kindness, and with patience. Forgive all who disappoint you as God has forgiven you, and crown all things with love, which binds everyone together in perfect harmony. Go from this place in peace and love to serve. And let the whole church say, Amen. Please be seated.
Good, good.